Come on.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the only podcast produced by three two-time winners of IMSA's Spirit of the Race Award. You're tuned into the Check Engine Podcast. We are hosted on Anchor.fm and streamed worldwide on all of those platforms you use to listen to your favorite shows. Nick here. Joining me, as usual, are my two co-hosts. We have our show's initial creator, writer, episode idea, vending machine guy, Andrew. And we also have our producer, deep thinker, chief show namer, Tristan. And guys, hey, that whole recording in person thing was fun while it lasted, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, at least this time it's my fault. I'm on the road looking for opportunities, let's say that.
Opportunities.
Does anybody from your work listen?
I don't know. I guess we're about to find out.
Yep, we'll see what happens.
I hear you've been looking for opportunities.
Well, best of luck with your search, man. For whatever opportunities may be out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, go to Tristan first. Then we got to have a talk about what I'm driving right now.
Okay, Tristan, I'm going to you.
Great. As chief producer and tech guy, I'd like to proudly report that both Andrew and I are recording using cell phone hotspots. Him because he's traveling, and me because Spectrum is my only internet option in this godforsaken wasteland of internet access.
Godforsaken wilderness.
Yeah. So with Spectrum being down functionally this whole work week, I'm on a hotspot as well, so I can make sure we get this episode out for you guys. I am about to embark on a great journey to the very tippy top of the Bermuda Triangle. Should be there by Sunday.
This is the last time we're going to talk to Tristan. This is the last time we're going to talk. Yeah. I mean, Bermuda Triangle, man. You go in, you don't come back.
Well, not everyone.
Well, yeah, but
it's a good chance.
And it just seems like a very 90s piece of pulp fiction, like the Bermuda Triangle. You know what I mean? I feel like no one's talked about the Bermuda Triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle and like quicksand.
Yeah, quicksand. Yeah, definitely. No, really. I remember like half the shit on Discovery in the mid 90s was about Bermuda Triangle disappearances. And now that just doesn't happen anymore. Maybe GPS got way better.
Probably. And I'm just going to just the tip of the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, it's just the tip. It doesn't really count then.
Exactly.
Or maybe they just go around it now. I don't know. Maybe they realize there's more water.
Go around it. There's a whole lot of ocean out there. You don't have to use this.
you don't have to go through it, you know.
Must go around it.
It's not even that many. I mean, I guess it's kind of a lot. 50 ships and 20 airplanes. More than 50 ships and 20 airplanes. I mean, it's not like thousands, you know what I mean?
I mean, 1,000 is more than 50.
That's very vague
data.
Can confirm.
More than. Well, anyways, enough about that. We're not a Bermuda Triangle podcast.
We're not. We're a car podcast, and hopefully it won't be another 77 months before we get a chance to do this in person. Like it was the last time.
We'll be back. Don't worry.
As soon as Tristan survives his Bermuda Triangle trip, we'll be right back at it.
Well, I wasn't worried, but now I am.
Yeah. Way to jinx it.
What? I mean, you're welcome.
My death will be on your head, Nicholas.
No, not death. It will not. Mysterious disappearance.
Yes. M-I-A.
And it will not be on my head. You're the one who chose to go to the Bermuda Triangle.
That's true.
You're the one who chose to tell me I'll be all right.
No, I'm telling you, they just sail right around that shit now. They just boat around it. They're like, nah, not today.
All right, we're not a jinxing and superstition podcast either. Let's get to work. Fine. What are you driving?
Yeah. All right, so here's the situation. It would have been now 2 weeks ago. I drove my car over to my parents' house. My Elantra parked it on the driveway, and as I was backing up, my dad goes, "Your car's leaking something." And I said, "That's impossible. It can't be." And I couldn't.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't figure out what the hell it was because it was already, you know, in the driveway, in his brand new driveway. He was very mad at me. It was not oil. It was not brown. It was not green. It was clear. And so I called Hyundai. And they told me, but it was oily. I should mention it. It felt an oily feel to it. So I called Hyundai and they said, "Oh, it's the air conditioner." I said, "Nope, it's not the air conditioner." Because by that time I'd taken a light and shined it underneath the car, and everything, the whole chassis behind the driver's seat, was caked in oil residue. You could see it.
Really?
Well, yep. Long story short, it's leaking transmission fluid. Bummer. Huge bummer. So I got the call from the dealership like a day later than I would have thought. But I brought the car in. He didn't call me back because essentially what he did apparently is put it up on the lift, go, "Yep, that's transmission fluid," put it down and immediately called Hyundai, because Hyundai does not do any service where they open transmissions on cars that are under warranty. They just, if there's a problem, they just replace it.
Wow.
So that's cool, but the problem is there's a back order on parts with no end date.
Whoa. That's not good.
No. So while my car is...
What order did they put you in, Andrew?
While my car is parked in a parking lot for probably months, almost certainly months at this point, they gave me a Nissan Altima. A brand new one. I got it from the rental car place with 300 miles on it. A brand new rental car. And someone had fucking smoked in it. Who's doing this? Who is doing this?
Of course someone smoked in it.
How is this? Is it mandatory? Is it required? I don't understand.
It's actually something the rental company does. They immediately just buy the car and light a cigarette and set it in there until it burns all the way down, and then they rent out the car.
I mean, that really must be it. Either that or their mechanic is like puffing a cube every second of his waking life.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
Other than that, how is the car?
So the car is actually really, really good. I think that I now understand for years, you guys, you remember this, for years I've referenced the fact that the last time I drove a Nissan, which was a Juke actually back when they're still making those, I asked the repair guy during, or not the repair guy, the sales guy during the drive, why anyone would buy a Nissan. And what he told me was, well, Nissan, Toyota, any of the Japanese cars, they're all good.
Great sales pitch.
Yeah. What a great sales guy. But I get it now. So here's the thing about this car that's really interesting. I described it to Tristan as a Taco Bell Chalupa, I think. Right, Tristan?
Yes, that is indeed how it was described to me.
So the base, the bottom of it, is really, really quality and like a step up from the normal, right? So the Chalupa, it's not like it's not a taco shell. It's like a nice pillowy flatbread. It's really soft. So the chassis of this car, hate this term, car journalism term, very composed, really, really, really capable chassis. Like you can feel that it's really, really good.
Sure.
Now in the middle are all the trappings of a really shitty car. Or in the case of the Chalupa, Taco Bell meat, right? Like it's not good. It's not quality, but that doesn't matter because it's livable. It's fine. It's not what you're there for. This is a base model, a Nissan, you know what I mean? It's not like great. It didn't, I was laughing, telling Tristan that it took me almost a full day to figure out that it said it had CarPlay, but it didn't start when I brought my phone into the car because it's not wireless CarPlay. I have to plug my phone in. It's literally the dark ages. I'm suffering. And then on the top over it all, it's just like some zest, right? Just like a little Baja seasoning, a little sour cream.
You folks didn't see were really something.
Yeah,
we need video.
ASAP. A little nacho or something like that. And for this car, it's that it is incredibly spacious, very comfortable, and I literally cannot make it go under 36 miles to the gallon. Here, 43 miles to the gallon doing, you know, infinite speeds through Iowa. It's shockingly fuel efficient.
Wow. That's
more
impressive.
And more important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. More and more important. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a good car, but it's the kind of car that makes me think, man, this would just be great with a better engine. And
the step from good to great doesn't seem like it's that much, but for some reason they just refuse to take it.
And I think it suffers a little bit from like Camryization, where essentially there is a fast one. I want to say it's like a 2.5 liter, 250 horse and similar foot pounds, you know, so like what you would expect from old V6 versions. But it just doesn't hold interest. Like they have a, you know, a flashy looking one that has the base engine, 188 horsepower. And then they have that one, which just kind of looks normal. And it's not, I don't think it would feel special in the same way that this car doesn't necessarily feel special, but you're going to pay more and get worse gas mileage, which is like this car's party piece for what? If you get the fancy schmancy Altima, it's not going to be a driver's car, really. I don't think, you know what I mean?
I've never heard Altima and driver's car in the same sentence. So
right.
I would think not.
So, I mean, yeah, for what it is, for the however long I'm going to have it, I basically just own this car now. I can't really complain. I have no complaints about it overall. It's a nice chalupa.
Did it surprise you? Did it surprise you how much you ended up actually liking it?
Or was it absolutely. Because I just thought, I don't know, I just thought I'd be completely neutral on it. And instead, I really am blown away by the gas mileage. And I totally get why every Nissan driver does 85 in the left-hand lane at all times. Because, again, that stupid journalism word, the composed manner of the chassis. Like, that thing is flat, dead on, and steady at every speed. The same level at every speed. And that's a feat in its own, but again, does it make you feel good on the inside? No, not really.
No, not really.
Much like the Taco Bell.
Yeah,
it makes you feel quite bad on the inside.
Takeaway, I need to go to Taco Bell.
Yeah, me too.
That's all I got from that.
Sponsored by Taco Bell.
Well, you got to keep us updated. You might actually, like, so we've had rental car reviews before, but we've never had like a, what do they call those? Long-term tests.
Yep. Yeah, that's what this is, definitively. Put 1,500 miles on it.
Whoa. Okay. So, yeah, we may need to bring back a blog for this. You may need to write a long-term review.
I could definitely do that. I've now hauled things in it. I've done the freeway thing around town, city, everything. This is my everything mobile. Also, massive trunk for whatever that's worth.
Good to know.
To some people, quite a lot.
Yeah. Again, a very 90s way of measuring things.
How many trunks does it have?
Yeah. How much trunk?
Well, you'll have to keep us posted on that.
I miss my car, that's for sure.
Yeah, you always miss your own car. Claire, I actually just, I was driving home today from work talking to Claire, and my 97 Blazer is at the shop again. Expected, nothing near as bad as obviously what happened to Andrew's Hyundai, but... all in this repair is like a $40 part plus labor. Like it'll be like $150 when I go pick it up. Not that big a deal. Like an EVAP solenoid, like nothing dangerous to the car. It just wouldn't have passed emissions. So telling Claire, like, hey, yeah, we can go pick it up probably Saturday. And she's like, we're not looking to trade anything in yet, right?
Right.
I said, no, we are not, because that would mean I'm trading in the Focus and I'm not ready to do that. So when you say yes, Andrew, like, I'm missing my car, I can't imagine if something major would happen to the Ford and I'd be in. Well, I mean, I guess I could drive the Blazer around, but that's not fun either. So, like, I can't imagine how much I'd actually miss my Focus.
Yeah. I mean,
if you make the decision to sell it or trade it in, that's a little bit different.
You get that M3. Like,
yeah. But when it gets like ripped away from you, it's not your choice.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
I've had that happen twice. So I understand.
That's true. Oh,
three times.
Three. Yeah.
So there was a Beige A4.
Beige A4. Silver, 4Runner.
Silver A4 when I hit the deer. And then the 4Runner when I got rear-ended by the semi-truck.
Two deer and a tiny little Booperino.
Yep, that crumpled the entire top of it and made it totaled, which is wild to me.
Rough stuff. That was a cool car. I drove in one of its very few trips.
Yeah. It's remarkably short but positive life.
Yeah, it was a cool car, man.
That's well, life with me. It was older when I got it, but, you know, life with me. It's real life when it's real life started.
I've been pretty fortunate, I think. I've never had one like totaled or anything like that.
Well, that's not true. My first car.
Just trying to think back.
Your Saturn.
That was totaled by the mechanic. I took it in for an oil change and he said, listen, you're not driving this car out of here. And I said, why not? And he said, because I have no engine mounts on one side.
The engine and don't want to stay in.
He said, this could quite literally fall out the next time you hit a pothole. And just go, dink.
That would have been interesting. Yeah.
It would have been. That would have been a story.
Yeah. Good one for the show. Yeah, fortunately, I haven't had any of those instances just yet, knock on wood. But yeah, what else we got to talk about? It's an open episode tonight, if you haven't guessed yet, folks. We're just, we had some really good themed episodes the last two times we turned the mics on, so we figured we'd just kind of do more of an open forum for you this week. Anything else on the top of anyone's mind, Tristan?
I mean, Nick, you want to do some overview of our now little over a weekend at IndyCar?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. Actually, we're going to start kind of there. Same track, different series. And I want to do a shout out. Normally we save our shout outs for the end, but I want to get this one out of the way before people decide to tune out, because I think it's pretty cool and pretty important. So I want everybody, either while you're listening, maybe not while you're driving, if you're driving and listening, but at some point soon, go to racingwithautism.com. Claire and I there were wandering around the track on Friday. Tristan, you guys came on Saturday. So Claire and I were just doing the get our steps in, walk the entire facility. Because it's, you know, Friday is mostly practice anyway. There's a couple of qualifying sessions, but like you don't need to be in front of a monitor. You don't need to be, or a screen. You don't need to be by a PA system or anything. So we were just doing laps around the facility, going through the garage and stuff like that, or the trailer area. Almost got run over by Alexander Rossi. But we were going down the inside of, like, the backstretch, like the inside of the kink going down to Canada Corner. And the Radical Cup was practicing. If y'all don't know what a Radical is, open top, like little miniature prototype car, 1,000-pound chassis, 300 horsepower engines. The things fly. They look like an absolute riot to drive. And there was one that went by with a really striking, like, yellow, green, blue, tiger, stripey, lightning bolt looking livery. And Claire was like, man, I love that one. That one looks so great. And we're like, okay, cool. And, you know, what number is that? And the next time it came by, we caught the number and we ended up walking over to the Radical paddock. And she's like, we got to go find that car. I said, okay. So we found it. And we ended up talking to the driver, Austin Riley, and then his dad, Jason Riley. It turns out Austin is autistic and he is racing with autism, which is where the website comes from. And he's not just like there for a story. Like the guy, the kid is good. He won three national, they're from outside Toronto. He won three national karting championships in Canada. He won the Radical Cup Canada championship. He raced for two or three season, Andrew, in your favorite, the Micra Cup.
Yeah.
The Nissan Micra Cup.
I was muted. Sorry. Micra Cup.
And this is his first year, really. Like, they're coming down, taking on Radical Cup North America. So step up in competition and all that kind of stuff. But he did really well. I think he finished in the three races over the course of the weekend. He podiumed in class in two of them. He and his dad and his crew chief were so nice to talk to. Obviously you can tell some of the social cues, you know, he have some trouble with that, but he was real happy to show us the car. He let Claire sit in it. He was showing her the dashboard and the different tabs or pages on the steering wheel and how you would start it, which was scary. Like I normally wouldn't put just some random person in a car and a race car and say, press this button and this button, you can drive off. That's not something I would advise, but very, very accommodating. Claire bought his crew shirt. We bought some racing with autism wristbands that we were passing out to people. And then within the livery, you can barely see it because the livery is so wild. There's actually little puzzle pieces, obviously, like the logo for, you know, the Autism Society is the puzzle pieces. And there's names in the puzzle pieces. And they said, if you go to the website, racingwithautism.com, there's actually Haggerty did an hour and 20 minute documentary on the kid. That's first thing you see on the website, but there's a donate button there too. And if you go and you donate $25 to the cause, they will put your name inside one of the puzzle pieces as like a sponsor on the car. So I encourage people, go to racingwithautism.com, learn about Austin Riley and his story, donate if you feel like you can, get your name on his car, and follow the Radical Cup to see his progress. And good luck, Austin. Thank you for showing us around your race car. Oh, also, he names every car he's ever driven. And he named his current car with the cool livery Dixie, because his favorite driver is Scott Dixon. Just like the show.
There you go.
Can't beat it.
So
Dixie.
Yeah, so I just want to get that out of the way now. I've been talking for a few minutes. So Tristan, why don't you kind of circle back and take over like Saturday, Sunday, your thoughts on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really well done weekend. The IndyCar weekends tend to be they're one of the bigger events for Road America. That and probably the NASCAR race are the two biggest ones, followed closely by some others. IMSA included, one of our favorites, but we managed to get there early enough that we, both days, we, at my suggestion, I was like, hey, can we leave at, you know, 30 in the morning on Sunday to get up there? And we managed to snag a spot on the Elkhart Lake Lions Club party deck, which is, I think, one of the best places to set up shop at Road America. Absolutely. there are lots of great places to see. You know, the track action from, there's lots of great places to walk to, but easily one of the best places for home base is up on that party deck. So, you know, I don't want all our thousands of listeners flocking there and taking our spot. So don't,
don't tell them.
You didn't hear it from us.
Yeah. But it's a great spot. Great view, top of the hill up by turn 6, looking down on turn 5 and turn 14. And the racing was great. Like Nick said, the Radical Cup was really, really something to watch. They, you know, for a lot of really, frankly, pretty amateur drivers, you know, they've had a lot of success, like you mentioned with Austin. you know, they've seen success in their own series, but it's mostly been Micro Cup stuff like that, and some not even that kind of experience. But they put together a hell of a show, and it was a great time. It did remind me of one of our favorite TikTok guys, though. Like, who's putting the rules together for this Radical Cup? It's like 1,000-pound chassis, one class, big honking V8 in it, the other one Hayabusa motor. Like, what?
Memes.
Yes, so many memes there.
The Hayabusa motor, by the way, they sounded incredible. Like,
yes,
old school IndyCar turbocharged whine. It sounded great.
Screaming. And then, yeah, all the, you know, I think this year in particular, compared to a couple other years that I've been there, all the quote unquote road to Indy, the Indy ladder races were better than normal. Some of them got a little exciting. They managed to have to, what was it, USF 2000 that they had to reschedule and finish later?
Indy Lights.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Indy Lights.
Christian Bogle ramped himself through the catch fence in turn 5. So there was a big, what, maybe half hour, Tristan, 40 minute delay while they,
yeah, half hour, 40 minutes while they, yeah, rebuilt the fence. They had to pull out like fresh coils of chain link to like fix the fence and fix all the barriers and everything else. And that ran them into, you know, TV time for the main event IndyCar race. So they had to actually race after the IndyCar race, so they could meet the TV deadline for IndyCar, but they did finish it, which was cool. They didn't just red flag it and say, you know what, never mind, which was cool. There was a lot of racing this weekend, a lot of it that I didn't expect, and a lot of it, you know, often when we go up there for IMSA, it's like, okay, the big main event race is over, everybody go home. But this time they had, you know, the Radical Cup, they finished the Indy Lights race after the regular IndyCar race, and it was a great opportunity to kind of hang out there after everything cooled down. You know, the main race was over, the majority of fans were leaving, and there was still a bunch of really great racing to be done. And we met up with some really cool other podcasters.
Yeah,
actually in that kind of after time, which was cool. Nick, do you remember the main title? I kind of remember. I remember the subtitle. I'm trying to find it in my podcast app because I am subscribed.
The open paddock rally cast. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, it was a really great time talking to some other people who do what we do in, honestly, a way kind of like we do it. They're just guys who like cars. They've actually moved into whole second and third generations of podcasters that, you know, other people have moved on, and these guys have taken over the podcast, and they've gotten some good interviews in, and it was a bunch of interesting stories. So those guys from the Open Paddock Rallycast were a great time. That wouldn't have happened if there hadn't been all this racing after the IndyCar race that people were sticking around for. So that was kind of the highlight of my weekend, was that it wasn't just like, hey, cool, main event's over, now get out. And just kind of keeping that racing feeling alive a little bit longer into the day was really cool this weekend. I'll let Nick get into the, you know, nitty gritty details of how the race went. He's way better at that than I am, but the weekend was amazing, as always, at Road America. So,
yeah. Note on the open paddock guys. Well, I think one of the guys was from, they're based all over the country, but they still do the show. So like one of the guys was from Ohio, one was from Houston, and like the main guy is from Oregon, and it was their first time for all of them at Road America. They said, but this was an absolute bucket list thing. They planned this trip. They had to come and see what all the fuss was about. And I'm like, and
they're like, they're like
worth every penny. Like everything that's said about it is exactly right, or it doesn't do it justice. Like they were just all about it. So just another,
hell yeah, man.
Another conversion for the Road America group. But
you'd love to see it.
Oh, absolutely. IndyCar race itself was kind of like a tale of two races. Like, there were, what, Tristan, three full course yellows in the first 10 laps? Like, they just couldn't get out of their own way to start.
Yeah, which is very, which is very out of character for the IndyCar races I've seen at Road America. They've all been relatively clean, the ones that I've been to, at least. So
yes, and then after that, they went green for what seemed like forever. And then there was, I think, Pato O'Ward lost his engine with like five laps to go. So it set up a last second green flag dash to the finish, which was won by Joseph Newgarden, who I still don't feel like this is getting enough press. He won $1 million bonus for winning at Road America, which is like, that's like NASCAR type bonus money. It never happens in IndyCar. I think the company is called People Ready. I have no idea what they do.
They do staffing.
I remember,
I think it's one of their ads was they do staffing. So.
But they call it the People Ready Challenge. And if you win on every type of like discipline on the IndyCar schedule, oval, street course, and permanent road course, you get $500,000 to you and your team. And then the other $500,000 goes to a charity of your choice.
And he wrapped that up at Road America the weekend we were there.
And he got that at Road America. So he won at Texas earlier in the year. He won at Long Beach. So there was your oval and your street course. And like, I'm pretty sure like when people put up these big bonuses like that, they're not like, they have to run some analytics and predictions on like, are we actually going to have to pay this out? And Joseph Newgarden's like, meh, I'll get it in the first seven races of the year. Thank you very much.
Joseph Newgarden's like, yes, yes, you will.
Yes, you'll have to pay that out. But so congrats to Joseph. I'm not a Penske fan, but like you really can't hate Joseph Newgarden. Like you can't be. He did great donuts at the base at bottom of turn five.
I was going to say that. I always judge drivers that I'm not otherwise familiar with on the quality of their celebratory donuts.
And he like when he stopped doing the donut, it was probably 10 or 15 seconds for the smoke to clear enough that you could even see him. Like,
yeah, he's engulfed in a cloud of torn up Firestone Firehawk tires.
I will say the other highlight of this weekend was actually Tristan. Jessica, not being familiar with all the driver names, and when Pato O'Ward had his engine fail right in front of us, you just hear Jessica very quietly go, "Oh, poor potato."
Patricio.
Oh, poor potato.
Potato. He will now be known henceforth as Pato O'Ward.
Yeah, oh my gosh. So I googled his name. And the people also ask, which is definitely the new like Yahoo Answers or Quora. The first one people also ask is Pato O'Ward Irish.
I genuinely asked that question. I was like, where is he from that his name is Pato?
In fact, he is Irish and Pato, Mexican.
But also O'Ward.
Like, Patricio and also O'Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of Yunko name mixture is that? And there you go. Now we know. Interestingly enough,
he uses, well, like his, I guess, middle name as his last name in racing, because his full name is Patricio O'Ward Yunko.
There you go.
Ah, there you go.
Very Mexican.
Born in Mexico, but I guess he moved to San Antonio when he was like three or four. So he essentially grew up here in the States, but still races under the Mexican flag, which more power to him. Another cool note for this weekend, which I don't know if it's actually, maybe I'll walk that back. It might not be cool, because normally they're separate weekends, but the 24 Hours of Le Mans was the same weekend as the IndyCar race. So thank goodness that Tristan, our employer, makes a little device called the Top Off which is a little power inverter that plugs into an 18 volt battery, because we just had our USB cable and we plugged into our cell phones or tablets. And a good thing about sitting up on the party deck is you have that ledge in front of you. So we stood the tablet or our phone up on the ledge, and as IndyCar or Road to Indy support series were going on around us in real life, we had the screen with Le Mans going on right in front of us too. So it was motorsports literally coming out your ears and eyeballs that weekend.
A very, very motorsports weekend.
Absolutely. Those are the best kind, in my opinion. But yeah, congrats to Joseph Newgarden. Can't wait to go back to Road America in August with you guys for the IMSA weekend. And then I will be back later in August for World Challenge and a kart race. So
I do want to, I think I want to go see World Challenge, or at least make another attempt at it.
Yeah, I would like to. I know I've got another a wedding. I wanted to hit more events this year, and I scheduled my own vacation on top of the NASCAR race, and then I've got like three weddings this year that are all stomping all over my racing time. Let me sound ungrateful. Not yours, Nick, because you know better, but everyone else is.
Mine in the off season. I schedule mine in the off season. That's how that works. But yeah, so the Tag Masters series is actually racing up at the kart track at Road America the same weekend that World Challenge is on the big track.
Oh, nice.
So we'll race on Saturday, and I'm trying to swing it, and we can just like camp out in the kart area and then just get up on Sunday and watch World Challenge as a spectator, because you can't really pay that much attention to it in between your own races. So I'm looking forward to that weekend thoroughly. And yes, I think World Challenge is more your speed, Andrew. Very much silhouette cars. Like GT3 is the top level. There's GT4, there's touring car, like Civic SIs and BRZs and Mini Coopers and all that kind of stuff.
I've missed it the last 2 years, and I'm still salty. I'm going to miss it this year too. It's like been number two on my list after the IMSA race every year, and I've never gone. So,
and nobody shows up.
I know, that's part of why. I go anywhere I want.
You have the entire place to yourself. There's no way in hell they would schedule an actual kart race the same weekend as IndyCar IMSA, because like the camping is filled back there by the carousel. You couldn't get the kart trailers in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They are not anticipating enough people at SRO to the point where like, yeah, we can actually bring the karters back in here on the same weekend. Like,
well, that's when we went, 2 years ago, was it now? 3 years ago? 5 years ago? It was rainy that day when we went, but I mean, we were maybe one of 200 people, you and me, Nick, when we went to go see.
Oh, max. Yeah. Maximum. It was rainy. It was later in the year, so it was actually, I think
that's
it was
a
Packers preseason game.
Oh,
it wasn't regular
season,
but it's like, man, it's Packers Sunday. No one's going to be here. And it was raining? Come on.
It was raining super fucking hard. Like, it was pouring.
Yeah, it was really bad.
That's a trademark of CEP weekends at the track, though.
True that.
Yeah. I wish you would have seen more, because I think you would have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to give it a run at going back again. We shall see.
Awesome. Maybe you'll still have that that Nissan, and we can all ride up in it and review it.
I mean, I kind of think I will. Like, and that's the thing, right? Say Hyundai produces, 10,000 of these transmissions and reserves 5% of them for fixes and puts the rest in new cars. Like, how long is that really going to take to get to me if I'm in line and just waiting for the part? Who knows?
About as long as it's going to take me to get MacBook Pros.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with that. I mean, at what point, like, what are the rules here? At what point does this just become my car?
How long have you had your car?
Squatter's rights on a car.
Yeah, 18 months or so. And about a year and a half.
So if you still have the Nissan after 18 months, you don't have to give it back.
Damn, dude, that'd be brutal. Oh, I don't want to drive this car that long.
I don't want to think about that, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, that would suck.
I mean, I was legitimately concerned that, like, once they told me they weren't sure where from, but that my car was hemorrhaging oil, I was like, I'm going to be without this car for months and I'm going to be stuck in Savannah.
No, they would have given you, you would have ended up with an Altima something.
Yeah, an Altima that I would have been able to drive home and then drive back to Savannah months later to pick up my car.
Oh, oh God. Dude, you're right.
Blah. But luckily that did not happen to me, and it happened to you when you're at home. So
I was at home. Well, that was the thing. They were going to give me, you know, some car off the lot to drive, which seems weird because it seems like a weird move. They were just going to give me a car to drive. And I mean, I don't think they realized that I, you know, have the average commute. So I still would have put several hundred miles on this, but between this road trip here and the one I took at the end of last week, I mean, that was already almost 2,000 miles. But like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. Like, obviously, if whatever car they give me, I'm going to drive. So why would they offer to give me something off the lot that they're just going to? I don't know. That was weird.
For sure. So I've got a question for you guys. If I want to change the subject a little bit here. And this is based on a Jalopnik article, which was posted on our Facebook page. Go to Facebook, search Check Engine Podcast. How far would you travel to buy a car?
I have actually thought about this. I set my limit at about 500 miles because that's, you know, 8 to 10 hours. I think it's a reasonable distance because it's not that far, but it's gives you a massive range, essentially.
I have family kind of far flung, it's about 500 miles or to where I already have family.
Yeah, that's true.
Make it a quick vacation on top of buying a car.
Yeah. Okay.
So surprisingly enough, according to the survey that this Jalopnik article references, it was a survey back in March of almost 3,000 buyers across the country. You guys are right about, you're just a little north of the average.
Sure.
I don't know why it's exactly this number, but the average person is willing to travel up to 469 miles to purchase a used vehicle.
That is the dumbest statistical finding I've ever heard. There's no point for it being that number.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is it that specific? Why didn't they just round up to 470 or 475?
So stupid.
Somebody wanted to publish 69. That's all.
Nice. Consumers
from Alaska saying they're willing to go up to 722 miles. That's just because that's how far it is to the next town. Like,
That also doesn't count.
Yeah, people don't understand how big Alaska is.
Huge.
So, I mean, yes, that makes sense. I mean, unless it's a very specific, like, it has to be this one in this color with this trim, like, I'm probably not going to go over a couple hours.
No, definitely not. But I'm just
like,
saying,
I might go to Chicago if I had to, but I don't want to.
Even if it was like a perfect one, my absolute upper limit would still probably be around 500 miles because that's, you know, 3 to 4 states in any given direction from roughly where we live. That seems like enough. You know, if it's California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, someone else can have it.
Did you just belch in the microphone?
No. Did you?
I didn't. Did Tristan?
No. I see him laughing. He's muted.
Maybe I did. Maybe my mute button was mixed up.
Nice. I can't wait to hear that coming back.
Oh, great content.
You won't.
You won't.
Oh, great. Man, that's hilarious.
Deprive the listeners. I didn't hear it either, so.
Oh, it was just me. That was just my little treat then.
That's right, because I'm on this world class Wi-Fi. Everything you guys say.
Yeah, like I would, back on topic, I would, like I said, maybe Chicago from here. But like, for instance, would I have loved to get the Focus ST in that in the awesome yellow or Ford Performance blue? Absolutely. But guess what? There was a white one in Milwaukee. Sure. I'll take it. Like,
yeah, that know, was like when I got my WRX, it was like, yep, I can, you know, maybe I can see if I can find one for you in gray, but there's a silver one in Waukesha. Great. Give me that one.
Close enough.
Yep.
Silver is just shiny gray. So
yeah, highly polished gray.
But I do think that color is important, and I guess like what is the feature that would make you drive the farthest? Is it color or is it trim color or like packages? You know what I mean? What's the thing that would make you drive the farthest?
I think for me, it would be if I had the means to get like one of those special or limited editions where there's only like a certain amount of them made.
Yeah. So that'd be like a package, I think.
Yeah, I guess you could call it a pack. Like my dad's neighbor is actually a huge Nissan fan, Andrew. He's got a 350Z. He just got an old, like the, when it was still Datsun, like the 200Z or the 240Z. But he got the 50th anniversary Z, and it's one of only 50 made. There was like seven of them in the country.
Nice.
And like he went down and like he scoured the internet, and you know, he's talking to people left and right, and he was digging and digging, and he found one, and he didn't go down to get it. He actually had it shipped up and delivered from like outside of Knoxville, I think. So from Tennessee up here, but it's that car that he wanted. It was that specific.
Well, it makes sense it would be in Tennessee because of, you know, Nissan.
Right, right, right. I didn't even put that together. Good call. But I think that's what I would do. Like if there is a very specific package or special edition this, that yes, I would be willing to go a great distance.
Oh, but Nick, there's a BMW specific page for limited edition vehicles.
I haven't even gotten my entry-level middle management BMW yet. Don't start teasing me with special editions.
All I'm saying is they have a bespoke page for all of your limited edition BMW needs. This carbon fiber is woven in three colors.
I'll have to check that out later.
I'd quit Discord to try to fix the mic thing, and it did exactly nothing. So I might as well just sign back in.
what would make you drive the greatest distance for a car?
I think definitely we're looking at, you know, trim / packages.
Yeah.
I want mechanically the car that I want. I fully realize that color, and my dad's given this spiel, right? And it's like the whole deal with color is that these car companies spend tons of money on researching the colors, on researching which colors work on the plastic, on the metal, everywhere else, so it looks consistent, all that stuff. And the car companies know that color is important, and to some people color is important. So if you are someone who says, man, I want that car, but I only want it in this color, I gotta have it in this color, that's totally valid. I am not that person. I sit inside the car like, yeah, like we've talked about in the past, do you want to be the person who like looks back at your car and goes, damn, that looks good? Yeah. But overall, to me, that's the overall design of the car. My silver WRX looks just as good as a blue one, as a red one, as a gray one, from that regard. I think there's a certain amount of personality, of your own personality, that gets into choosing a color. But like, for me, it's more important what the car is. You know, shows more of my personality than the color. So I'm definitely a mechanically, is it the car I want from a trim level, equipment, powertrain, all that stuff. Like, you know, because like for me, there's a huge difference. I traded in my Outback, bought a WRX. And then as soon as the Outback that came out that was actually super fun, I went to the Outback and I wanted that Onyx XT edition. Really, I wanted the XT edition at all, because, you know, I didn't really care about Onyx. It's what they had that's all blacked out, which ended up being cool. I love it. It's, you know, like you mentioned, Andrew, it's impossible to keep clean, but it's an Outback, so who cares? You know, and so the, but mechanically, that is the car that I, at the auto show, pointed at it and went, if they make that and it's no longer a, you know, concept car, I'm buying one. And I did, and I didn't care what color it was. I wanted that motor and everything else, and that was the big deal for me. So that's what would make me drive for a car. If they couldn't find one for me, I would have driven to go get one. So
makes sense. Just a brief update that no one but me and maybe one other person in the world would care about. You guys know about the Nissan.com thing that's been going on literally since like the early 90s, right? That Nissan does not own Nissan.com.
No. What?
So that Nissan.com for many years was owned by a computer company. And I guess they had legal challenges to that from Nissan Motor and kept the site. And for many years, I'll see if I can find an archive of what the page used to look like. It was basically like a place for him to say, hey, Nissan keeps trying to screw me out of my website that I've owned for years and they won't pay me a fair amount for it, which, you know, whatever. It's his page. He can charge what he wants. It's now just a splash landing page with a contact info.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of a bummer. So let's see here. L5. There are tons of snapshots of the site in the Wayback Archive. Holy crap.
I wonder what they got to do to buy it.
Oh, yeah, right here. Yeah. Nissan Computer Corp. We are being sued. Nissan Motor is suing Nissan Computer for trademark infringement, trademark dilution, and cyber squatting, seeking $10 million in damages. Nissan did not win.
Which Nissan?
Which is, yeah, they did not win. And this was in 2005, I guess it was. God, by the way, the guy just has the coolest name. The president of Nissan Computer, his name is Uzi Nissan.
Oh, just come
the sickest on. Name, the sickest name of all time. So, yeah, it was a computer company for many years after 2005. It was basically a warning website. Nissan Motors lawsuit against us. It can happen to you or someone you know. And
public service announcement.
Yeah. So now it's gone down to just a splash page. So, you know, it's an interesting journey that could be something interesting to write about. I think maybe something interesting that we could do like a bigger episode about, simply because it's one of those weird pieces of internet history. And, you know, one day, on this trajectory, one day maybe Nissan, the car company, will have the website Nissan USA.
Well, that may come sooner rather than later.
That's what I'm saying. Like this,
because in a shockingly sad turn of events, Uzi Nissan in 2020 died of COVID.
There we go. There it is.
Oh, so that's shit.
Explained. That explains that. Man, wow. You're ruining the podcast episode. We should have built this out. Oh, we suck.
We could.
We can still detail the battle.
We could. We could detail the battle, and we could. I don't know. Maybe at some point loop in Carlos Ghosn. Is he still around?
Carlos did this. Carlos gave him COVID.
Conspiracy theories abound.
How about that? Yes.
Oh man.
Oh man, that's amazing. If it happened. No, it's not.
if it didn't happen.
What if it did?
What if it could?
Oh man. All right, now we're starting to run on fumes. We should probably get the people out of here, hey.
We could. I am interested in that though. I was trying to think of anything else. The reason why I brought up the Nissan thing in the first place is because I was looking up I did this once, I was trying to look up what the cool Altima is. And Nissan can't ever do anything like chill. So it's called the Nissan Altima SR VC Turbo.
Senior Viscount Turbo.
It's just not cool. It doesn't look cool. It's not wearing anything cool. It's not looking cool. It doesn't come in cool colors. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a chalupa.
I guess the orange is kind of neat. It comes in the Sunset Drift Chroma Flare. That's a cool name for orange, and it's much better than the orange on my current car.
Chroma Flare.
Gun metallic.
Gun metallic. Not gun metal. It's the color of gun, but metallic.
What if your Nissan came with a gun?
What if your Nissan came in the color of a gun?
All right, Nick was right. He was right the first time.
But imagine a flat, dark earth Nissan, though. That'd be cool.
That would be sweet, like a Cerakote?
Yeah, FDE Nissan.
Speaking of that, actually, something that I've wanted to bring to this podcast, even though Tristan insists it's not as embarrassing. I was telling Tristan like a week ago that as Nick has an embarrassing obsession with BMW, I have an embarrassing obsession with the Santa Cruz. Now that I'm seeing it on the road.
That's not embarrassing.
He's of the same opinion I am.
I don't know. Is it? Is it not?
I don't think so.
It's not embarrassing if you're a Hyundai fan. You've been flying the Hyundai flag for years.
That's true. That's a good point. But it is kind of a silly thing, isn't it? Like, it's just this little baby truck with paddle shifters and like the smallest bed in history. I don't know. Weirdly,
hey, people are buying the Maverick like crazy too. It's a thing. It's happening.
Well, that thing is flying off lots as well. I think 50,000 units was the number I saw.
Yeah, I saw five of them at Road America.
They're everywhere, yeah. And they're everywhere here too. And damn it, man! It looks so cool to me. I finally saw the I don't know if they call it tan or sand or whatever. You know, like essentially just their sand color.
Khaki.
It's probably khaki. Yep. Man, that looks sweet. And I saw the olive green as well. Man, that looks sweet. And ironically, just because of what I've been doing, hauled a bunch of equipment up to the Northwoods of Wisconsin, been driving around here on like gravel roads and in construction sites and hauled a bunch of shit down here. It's like, you know, what would actually come in useful? A tiny little truck with a tiny little bed and a tiny little lift. Who knows?
The rationalization begins.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately. For sure. Unfortunately, you may be correct.
But fortunately, it is a rationalization that is logical versus Nick's semi-mystical draw to BMW as soon as he got that, you know, that middle management title.
But he does need to... He probably does need to show off a little bit more, right? Like at some point you're representing the company where you go, you know what I mean? Like some point you gotta compete. And I guess the only question for Nick is whether he gets, you know, the X SUV, X8. Is that the big one? The X4?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
X7.
Or the 7 series, I guess would be what he's looking at, right? No, 3 series. 5? Where are you?
I want to go, if I'm going to go anywhere, it's going to be 3.
3 series. That's the best looking one, for sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I do want to avoid the beaver teeth at all costs, though.
Beaver teeth with an F.
With an F.
Dude, it's just so bad, though. Like, it's been years at this point. I don't think... I really thought BMW would correct course. And then part of me is also like, no, they're already too far gone. And just, I hate it. I hate seeing those cars on the road. I hate being forced to witness them. They're horrible. They're
stop inflicting these on me. Yeah.
They're simply appalling. And there's no excuse for it.
Mm-mm. None. Well, all right, guys, let's get out of here, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's wrap this up. So before we do that, real quick, I already mentioned Facebook. Andrew, where can they get in touch with us on Twitter?
At Check Engine Pod.
Tristan, what about Instagram?
Also at Check Engine Pod.
Awesome. So be sure to like, follow, share, post, DM, reach out how and when you can. You can ask us questions to answer on the air. Let us know what you like or dislike. Give us topic ideas, all that kind of stuff. Answer that question that we just talked about, folks. How far would you drive to buy a car? And what feature or spec or color would make you drive the farthest? Hit us up on socials and let us know. While you're listening, on whatever platform you're listening to us on, be sure to hit that subscribe button. It's free and you'll get notified of any new content we put out. And or leave us a review, preferably a good one, to help with that big podcast algorithm on the internet. And if you're really into what we're doing and would like to support this podcast monetarily, you have two options for that. You can go to patreon.com/checkenginepodcast or hit the support button on our homepage at anchor.fm/checkenginepodcast. Everything you put in gets used to make this the best experience for you that we can make it. So thank you very much in advance. Any shout outs before we sign off?
Well, I mean, obviously me, it's gotta go to Meg, gotta go to the wife. She will have been home with the baby for a full week by the time I get back.
Holding down the fort.
What a trooper.
Yeah, no, both of them even. So, yeah, I mean, all the thanks in the world to her. I couldn't do any of the stuff I've kind of had/wanted to do in the past couple of weeks without her just holding it down at home. So
awesome.
Tristan? I'll do a similar one, but a pre thank you goes out to my dad for serving as both pet sitter and airport limo over the next week or so. So he actually went out of his way to take time off to get us down to the airport tomorrow. And on our return trip, he's already off, but he'll be getting us down there. And then he'll be watching two, frankly, just absolutely chaotic animals while we're gone. And that's... you know, it's a big ask. So complicated feeding schedules. Some of them are kind of jerks. You know, so a pre thank you to, by the time this episode goes out, he will have already begun that process. So thanks to him. And also thank you to Diet Dr. Pepper for making this last half hour of recording nearly impossible.
I mean, I'm just gonna stay on the dad train. This is our first episode since Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. My dad, Ken, Andrew, your dad, Andrew, your first Father's Day. So congratulations!
That's right, it was.
So yeah, hope you had a great first Father's Day. Thank you, Dad. Thanks all the great dads out there. Happy Father's Day. Hope you enjoyed your day. And as always,
thanks to dads as well.
Thank you, listeners, for your continued support. We love hearing from you. We love recording this for you. And we can't wait to speak to you again. Until we do, take care.